Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, if you like this podcast, go behind the paywall to get privileged access to the smartest minds in finance. Join the Real Vision community and learn how to become a better investor. Visit realvision.com/rvpod and use the promo code podcast10, that's podcast10, to get 10% off our essential membership for the first year.
Is the Fed back in play? Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Real Vision Daily Briefing. With me today is Dale Pinker, trading coach at TradeGate Hub. Hi, Dale. Happy Friday.
Great to be with you, Maggie. The Fed is always in play.
Yeah, it should be always in play, right? So before we dive in, we are heading into a long holiday weekend in the US and UK, and you can kind of tell because definitely things got thin as we went through the end of the trading session. But I also understand there's another reason for celebration. It's your birthday weekend.
It's my party. I could cry if I want to.
All right.
I am an apple put, so I'll shed a tear for that.
Okay. I love it. Well, happy birthday ahead
Thank
of time,
you,
Dale.
Thank you.
And congrats to you. It's always great to celebrate. And it's a good weekend. It's my daughter's birthday as well. We got a lot of stuff going on this weekend.
Gemini, so. Another Gemini.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Good luck. Good luck with her.
I need it. So we listen, feels like everybody's in a celebratory mood. We saw US equities end the week with a rally. Signs that lawmakers in Washington are getting closer to a deal on the debt ceiling. It's not there yet, but it looks like things are plodding along. That certainly helped the mood, as did the continued strength in technology. We did see bond yields rise on the back of some economic releases, and the dollar bounced back, racking up a third week of gains, even though everybody wants to hate the dollar. So there's a lot going on. So let's just start with what's top of mind with you as you look at all these cross currents. What are you thinking about heading into the long holiday weekend?
That a deal in principle between two weak leaders. McCarthy took 10,000 votes to become speaker, and President Biden, half his party doesn't want him to run for re-election in 2024. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to rein in all their members to get it through, because both sides are going to feel like they've given up too much.
Yeah.
This is not just up to President Biden and Speaker McCarthy. So the easy part is bringing something to Congress. The difficult part is being able to get the numbers of votes to pass it.
Do you think there's complacency? Because everybody thinks like they can't possibly muck this up, right? The consequences are too extreme. It's like you can't, but I remember, you know, I always think like for I love talking to people, a lot of experience in this, because when it's in the hands of politicians, dumb shit happens sometimes. And I remember back in the wake of the financial crisis, when everybody was like, we need TARP to go through, the politicians didn't do it. And the markets free fall like no one ever saw before. So they quickly freaked out and amended that. But, you know, there's always this, I think sometimes we're very complacent about the fact that cooler, calmer, smarter heads will prevail in Washington. And I don't know, is that a worry? Like, are we putting too much faith in the fact that everyone's going to do the right thing?
No one ever thought there'd be the Capitol takeover on January 6th either.
Right.
So there's always that outlier. I don't have confidence in Congress. There's too much vitriol. They're even splintered within their own parties. So there are people that feel that it would be a good thing to let's check it out and see what a default is like. And I'm still not confident that it's going to get done. The market, the market's already starting to discount it. S&P could see 4,300 if it goes through, But a lot of patient bearers, and I was not one of them, I wasn't patient enough, but a lot of patient bearers are looking at short. S&P is around the 43 to 43.5 level. There's a lot of confluence of technical factors there. And I don't think the strength lasts more than another week.
Interesting.
Maybe two.
Interesting. So do you think it doesn't last because larger macro events overwhelm the situation, or is it just both. Running to both? Okay.
It's both. And I think that, you know, we could have a mess trying to get this debt ceiling passed. The Fed is back in play. I think they're going to go. Why wouldn't they? The market isn't, the market could handle it, right? I mean, the market, it's on fire. I guarantee you that the Fed is not happy about the NASDAQ becoming parabolic here. There's even talk that certain home markets are improving again. And the inflation picture has improved in eggs. But Maggie, I went to a liquor store the other day and I paid $18 for a 12-pack of Coors Light. So it's becoming ingrained. I won't go to that liquor store again. But it's
all right,
becoming.
Now we got to get together. I got questions about your choice of purchase too. But well, that's,
oh, well, yeah,
that's another day. Listen, we are going to do. We're going to have you back on because I'm gonna jump off this for a programming note. We hear you all. We're here on a 4 o'clock on a Friday, Memorial Day. We understand. We're going to respect the summer Fridays and we're going to pull the daily briefing down. We're experimenting. We're going to do it earlier and we're going to make it a happy hour. And so you come back with your course and let's like talk about that drink choice, but it's your birthday. So I'm not going to harass you today.
All right.
But you're right. Like there, this is so just for those who may have been unplugged and getting a jump start. And I know you're not all having a bank holiday, but it's going to be thin markets because a lot of big players are going to be out. We did get PCE reading on inflation, which is one of the Fed's preferred measures of inflation. It came in a bit higher than expected. Consumer spending's holding up. We see people out there. So it looks like, Dale, the market's now pricing back in the fact that the Fed may raise rates one more time. Do you think they're going to have to do that?
Twice. And I think that until the market reassesses the easing that it has priced in for later this year, early next year, that it's wrong-footed on rates. Maybe it's a good time to go to the TLT chart.
Yeah, let's pull that up because there is a big, we've been talking about it. For those of you who are members, you know that we've been not just on the daily briefing, but in lots of our programs, really taking a look at this. There's a big discrepancy between what the market thinks and what the Fed is saying, and that's problematic. What do you think is going to happen with TLT here? There's been so much volatility in bonds. It's kind of unprecedented, the amount of volatility we've seen. What do you see happening with TLT here?
I see a breakdown. And, you know, about a few weeks ago, I was expecting perhaps a breakout to the upside, maybe on some risk off over that 109 level. Instead, we're breaking down. And there are record net shorts in treasuries. That's one of the rationalizations for staying long. Up until today's inflation number, we had terrible manufacturing numbers. Everyone's looking for the economy to slow. But if your viewers look at the bottom of that TLT chart, you'll see that when they were making lows in October, that momentum was making a new low too, which makes it a confirmed low. When momentum and price confirm, markets rarely bottom on confirmed lows and confirmed highs. So the conclusion I make is that we're going to take out those lows. And, you know, I wonder what that's going to do to banks' balance sheets. I'm wondering what that's going to do as far as competition. I know it's going to be part of the reason that the dollar, I think, has legs. And I love your description of the dollar rally. It's hated. It's not embraced. Mm-hmm. People are still very bearish the dollar. I actually think, and I brought a euro chart we could get to, that euro's going to trade back near parity. And this is part of the reason, because rates can go up on the long end, not because of economic data or an economic recovery, just because there are too many bonds and not enough buyers. The auctions have gone okay, but We're about to get swamped with supply.
This is really important. So everyone's been thinking, do they get a deal? Do they not get a deal? Everyone that we've been having on our air, and I think this is why it's so important. We try to like look out for people and try to get them the information. All the kind of professionals in smart money are talking about, okay, so debt ceiling aside, what happens then? What's the deal with all the issuance that's going to flood the market? And what happens to liquidity issues around all this debt ceiling? So how are you thinking about the debt ceiling issue through, let's say we get a deal, ugly, messy, not everybody's happy with it kind of thing. What are the, talk to me about that issuance.
Okay, well, you're going to have, the Treasury has to refill their gas tank. And that means a lot of notes and bonds are going to come to market. A similar thing happened in 2011. And so when you have a ton of Treasury offerings, in fact, you know what's interesting, Maggie? People will take less interest to buy a corporate bond because they have more confidence in the corporation paying back on time than they do on sovereigns.
Right.
That's a statement in itself. You look at LQD, certain high corporate credits, they have a lower yield than treasuries, depending on the time coupon.
That's so important because they are seen as the safe havens now. Like they're seen as the,
bonds instead of treasuries, which used to be the best of breed and where the flight to safety was and where everyone wanted to park their money and they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yep.
That's now changing.
It's changing because there's a sovereign bond bubble that everyone's trying to figure out how do you deal with this thing? It's a problem.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, there are some smart guys that like the bonds, you know, there's Gunlich, there's a lot of people that like them, but you know, it's one thing to have an opinion, but price is truth. And the truth and the momentum confirming that low. And when you think about it, you know, we're going to be in June, all the bonds did was stabilize, move sideways in bearish consolidation and breaking down. You can't argue with the price. You know, the bonds look ugly to me right now, Maggie. I'm looking for new lows. There could be a pullback in the 10-year. They measured to about 390. We'll see if they hold 360 if rates come off. There are a lot of people looking for lower rates. I actually think eventually, even if there is a dip in rates, that the 10-year is going to make new highs into year end.
In terms of yield?
Yield, yes.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break right now to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
So that's so important. So this carries a theme we've been having, this conversation, this very smart conversation we've been having all week with our guests. And I think Peter Bookvar put it very clearly. The people who are looking for the dip in rates are looking at the economy, right? They're saying recession's coming. I see things rolling over. I see inflation moving lower, even though it, you know, we can have a debate about how low it's going to go.
Exactly.
There's the credit squeeze coming. So it's the economic that they're looking at, part of the equation. But Peter said, I'm looking at the demand for Treasury side. Like, you can tell me all that stuff about the economic side, but what about who's buying these bonds? How high do you have to have rates in order to attract buyers? And it sounds like that's what you're focused on as well.
That's exactly. It's a crowding out in credit markets by all that supply. I have a lot of respect for Peter. That gives me more conviction. I'm looking for new lows. I'm wondering how a lot of markets are going to react. And if the debt ceiling drags on.
Kick the can down the road because ironed out all the details.
We could have a bond crash. Okay, so, you know, kind of like what happened to the gilts last year. And the gilts are under pressure too. All sovereigns globally are under pressure.
All right. I'm just going to tell everyone, if you're on the YouTube side of our universe and you're a subscriber on YouTube, we are having everyday conversations about this on the member side. It's really important. And this is the kind of information from the very beginning. This dates back to the beginning of Real Vision that not everyone has, and you have to be aware of these risks because they're real and you're not hearing it elsewhere. And it's, I think it's really important because this is a dynamic that it doesn't, when you look at the markets and the pricing, it seems like there's complacency about this, Dale. When I look at what's happening with stocks, if we were to have like I'm not even say crash, because that's a hard word to throw out. But if we were to have a dislocation, if we were to have bonds not respond to Fed policy, not, and really instead go on supply and demand issues, that has repercussions for everything, including stock markets, doesn't it?
Right. Well, remember, you and I have talked, I forgot who you interviewed, who said, if I get the dollar right, I can get everything.
Peter Brandt. That's always okay. What Peter Brandt says.
The only thing that's not being affected by this recent rally in the dollar are our equities. Okay. Mm-hmm. Metals have taken a hit. Copper was under pressure for China reasons. There are a lot of stocks that are not participating in this. It's very highly concentrated, this rally. And so the dollar is going a lot higher than a lot of people think. I'm not looking for new highs, but when you're talking about parity in the euro,
I think we might have had it up before, but let's put the euro dollar chart, because whenever we talk about the dollar, really, folks like Dale who know like to talk crosses, not just the dollar, because it depends on what you're talking about. So if you look at the euro dollar, and Robert has a question about this, we'll get to in a second. He's asking, do you think parity is still in play? And you think it is?
Yeah. So if you see the blue speed line down there, comes in a little bit above 100, that would just be a retracement of the rally that we've had. So the rally that we had finally completed up around 10.5. I wouldn't buy the dollar blindly, but if there's an opportunity on a rally to sell euros at 109, 109.40, even 8.5, I would go with it. The euro is a majority of the Dixie. So if Dixie pulled back to say 103, 102.5, that's a break to buy. I think that the dollar is giving an early signal of monetary conditions tightening and paying attention to the 10-year while the market is ignoring it. And, you know, I'll bring up 1987. It's the biggest case of a word called disintermediation. In 87, rates were rising sharply and the market was going up and it kept going up. And rates kept rising. And you never know when you're going to get that last snowflake for it to be the tipping point of an avalanche, but they will reconnect. And what's outperforming is most rate sensitive tech.
Yeah.
Okay. So either, you know, I'm real wrong about rates and rates are about to crash, or there's going to be a reversion to the mean, especially if I'm right about bonds.
So let's like take a pause and underscore this, because there are markets that are moving against the correlations that we normally understand. And I think that you and many others have kind of explained it as an elastic band stretching, right? So until the event happens, you can kind of get this period where it seems like these things can happen, but it's only because you haven't had the impact yet. So it sounds like you're saying you're worried about stock valuations here based on your thought about what's going to happen with bonds and the dollar. Is that right?
And the economy. And that's why I think that there are also interests in having this debt ceiling fight continue. And that for President Biden, everyone I talk to him with what the Fed has done in the last year with rates says that we're going to have not a great 2024, even if we get through 23. So everyone's going to be looking for someone to blame. And Biden can blame the Republicans for not bringing a clean debt ceiling bill to him and say that they wanted too much because they were going to cut social programs too deep when people need it. And the Republicans are going to say the Democrats want too much because they're unwilling to cut and the deficit's out of control. And I don't even think Jerome Powell would mind it, that if we can blame a debt ceiling political fiasco for what may happen economically in the next 12 months, even the Fed could say we had things under control until we didn't have the political will to pass the debt ceiling in a timely manner. So it's cover for everybody.
Everybody wants a scapegoat, which is horrible. Horrible policy.
Let's just say
it's horrible policy, but it is absolutely politics these days, which is part of our problem. So Sandeep was asking, will this momentum take NASDAQ to new all-time highs? A purely technical outlook. This brings up a really interesting point. So you see things lining up where you think stocks are vulnerable, but the tape is hard to argue with when you see this rally.
This is truth.
Right? Yeah. So there's Sandeep, thank you for that question. There's a long-term there's long-term, medium-term, and short-term, but there's a let's call it medium-term where not everybody can be right. The markets are dislocated. Like things are trading in a way that something has to change. There has to be a repricing. But in the short term, you've gotten your head handed to you if you tried to short tech stocks, especially the NASDAQ. Look at just what happened in this week with NVIDIA and the NASDAQ.
Well, yeah, trade selection's everything. So, you know, people aren't getting hurt, still being short the Russell, although the Russell's recovering and the Dow hasn't been as strong. And you're right, it's been concentrated in tech. But take a look at the Apple chart, since you bring it up.
Yep, let's pull up Apple.
So, you know, NASDAQ's gone parabolic. NVIDIA, you know, such a big gap, people had to tack on some paper on top of their chart so they could be able to graph it.
Dale, you watch markets all the time. I was flabbergasted at the gains in NVIDIA. Like there were a lot of people who were anticipating, a lot of people were thinking it was time to take profits. Even people were so bullish the stock, were like, there's no way. To see a stock like that go up 25% in one day, that's an extraordinary move.
I heard it was the best earnings report, not just for NVIDIA, but for any stock in history.
Yeah.
In history, unprecedented.
So is it real? Like you have to ask yourself, is this real? Is there something different with AI? And this is the debate we're going to have. And I told you all, we're going to have we're going to do a lot on AI coming up in the next few weeks because it's the topic of the moment. But it just, how do you wrap your head around this? Is it because it's like that? God, it's going to change everything. It's this disruptor. It's real. And then it's like, or is it just that same trap we all get stuck in where we chase it and then it's going to end bad? How are you thinking about this, Dale?
Well, you know, if you think about AI itself, you're right. When you think about valuations, that's a different story.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's no doubt that there's overvaluation and that is, that gap, I think, is going to be filled that NVIDIA put in. It may have to do some distribution here first. And, you know, you take a stock like Apple, it's the most loved stock in the world. I could have used a little extra artificial intelligence buying puts before the earnings. So, and that's why I told your viewers and you the last time we were here is I'm doing it with September puts because there could be a good earnings report like Microsoft that ripped the cover off the ball. And that's exactly what happened. But consider what NASDAQ has done, almost every tech stock, and look at Apple has been sideways since the earnings report. It's destined for another high, but it won't confirm with momentum. Maybe it trades 180. But pay attention to Apple And if you ever see the ticker in Apple trading under 170, that's the go signal for positions. I continue to accumulate short positions because once we're back in that channel under 170, the lower channel line comes in at about 125. So
So you see it going to 125.
Yeah. And part of it, I did have a fundamental rationale, and it was China. And what did China do this week with Micron?
Yeah.
It's only the beginning.
We're going to take another quick break to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
So we're going to talk a lot, and all chips, like there's a lot of political risk out there in technology, and we don't talk about it enough because right now it's all about the enthusiasm of AI. So that's something we're going to be looking at going forward. But
you know, China isn't being aggressive. They're retaliating because we already put sanctions on them for getting any kind of chips.
Going after Apple would be, I'm not going to say a nuclear option, but it's that's a new level of aggression.
Aren't there Chinese phone manufacturing? Yeah. Can't you just, if you're in China? I tell you what, it'd be a lot easier for Xi than Biden to say, we're not using Apple phones anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing stopping him from doing it.
And their new guidelines are security over profits.
China does need the U.S. as a trading partner, though. It's very hard to imagine them, even Xi, with the command control center, you know, being able to do that. But it is an interesting. So we just got a question from Jay Blackburn. Right. So someone very on our platform, and we do geopolitics and China risks on that a lot. Somebody said there's the scenario, but that's if you assign rational thinking. But the problem is politicians aren't rational and leaders aren't rational, especially dictators are not rational. So whether you're talking about Putin or Xi, like you can assign all your odds to it, but then there's this unknown that you're just not sure if they'll do the irrational thing. Want to squeeze this in? G. Blackburn asks, how about put spreads on QQQ NDX?
Yes. Yes. You know, what's the right day? Buy time. You know, go out to December. Yeah, I want to tell you an interesting story, and part of the reason why I still think there's a break coming in the market. You know, I talk to a lot of people like you do, Maggie. Mm. And this one analyst who I noticed his work a long time on this charting platform. And he did a lot of work with planetary reasons. Everything. The guy lived and breathed it. And he passed away about 4 or 5 months ago. From cancer. And I followed his work, and he said there'll be a March low, which if everyone looks at their S&P chart, that was the last low. And he has had a July crash date that was so important for him to get out to his followers and listeners that I'm paying attention to it.
Interesting.
And so, you know, with his last bit of energy, he made sure that people were aware that liked his work about the danger coming in July.
All right. Well, that's always something to pay attention to. I'm going to have to hook you and Mish up because she watches. You traders watch everything, like everything, which is what I love. Want to get to gold because we had a conversation on the platform. Roger actually it went out live. Members, if you're listening, probably hopefully caught some of it. It was on for Plus. About gold. Daniel Jarrett, chief investment officer at Strategy Capital, spoke to Roger about how they felt about gold. I want to get your thoughts, but let's listen to the clip first.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we don't consider gold in kind of the super cycle framework just because, you know, it has so many different faces to it and so many different sources of demand. You know, from a, you know, right now where we see gold is, I mean, it's obviously done very, very well over the last 6 to 9 months. You know, the one thing that, you know, you can look at, you know, there's kind of a cyclical, you know, perspective if you kind of look at central bank behavior over a longer period of time. And we've entered this period where, you know, we've seen just tremendous central bank, you know, purchasing, you know, and we think that does continue, you know, which should support gold. You know, I think also, you know, we've entered, I think, you know, an unfortunate time of just a lot of geopolitical tensions, not just coming from, you know, Russia and Ukraine, but, you know, tensions between, well, you know, populism in general. I think there's just a lot more inherent uncertainty globally than there was maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. And so, you know, we're seeing gold, you know, driven by, what I would consider still its primary kind of fundamental drivers, which is, you know, central bank demand. You know, there's still, you know, if you really think about gold over the very, very long run, you know, you're kind of thinking about GDP growth. And there's, you know, there's also a lot of demand that comes out of emerging economies. And we see that set to continue. So, you know, I think, but, you know, we trade gold the same way that we would trade any other asset. It's still around the cyclical framework. And so, you know, we're very positive on it.
And that full interview is available for Plus members. So if you're not on the platform, hit that QR code and join our community. If you are, but you don't have access to that, same thing, upgrade. So very interesting conversation. And commodities come up all the time because they've been kind of forgotten. We get a lot of questions about gold, given all the turmoil going on. How are you thinking about gold right here?
Well, I brought a gold chart. And last time I was on, I said that if people were patient, they're going to be able to see the 1800 handle. So we've come off 100, 120 bucks, 140 from the highs. So far that call is right. We're going to test 1920, which is an important breakout point. But I think that if I'm right about my outlook for the dollar, that you have time to buy gold. And I actually think that between 1840 and 1780 is the range. And silver having a great update today with everything. Still think that we could see 22 outside shot of 20 again. Again, the dollar will catch up with everything that's ignoring it. And that makes it hard for me to want to be bullish gold right here. And the miners aren't acting well, particularly the silver miners. They're not that far away from their lows. SILJ. All of these. So,
what do you make of that? Why is that, Dale?
They have their own issues. Maybe it's profitability, but they should be minting money out here. I don't know the reasons, but I know what it means, and it tells me I could be patient about re-entering the gold market.
This is always the question why we ask a lot of people when they like a commodity, do you express it in the commodity or through the miners? And the miners do have some issues sometimes that come up that separate it from the commodity itself. I think you sent us over a chart of WTI. So I want to hit on oil before we squeeze a question in. So we hit the half hour. Usually we do an extended daily briefing. We're going to go a little bit longer today. We're not going to do the whole extended. It's Friday of a bank holiday and long weekend for a lot of people. It's been a long week and we have some really turbulent waters coming up. So we're going to like reserve our energy. So we're not going to go full steam today for the whole hour, but we can never resist getting a little bit more with Dale. So we're going to keep going and you're all going to stay on for it. We're going to do for you this Friday for the YouTube folks with us. So let's talk about WTI.
Okay. So WTI has been in a bear market since the invasion. And if you see the lower blue line, that's two attempts at the low 60s to hold. I'm looking for one more drive down there and possibly take out those lows. But on that next drive down, I'm going to be looking to be a buyer of crude. So should we tag that double bottom, take out the stops, I'm a buyer.
Interesting. So especially when we were facing a situation where we see like the economy, the U.S. economy is still like, if we got Fed hikes, that means the economy's strong. Consumers are out there spending. Is that supportive for that?
I think there could be some geo issues. You know, and we still haven't refilled our SPR. We can't do that because the debt ceiling's not done. So, you know, if that happens, maybe that's going to create some support. And I think we're entering a very critical phase in the Ukraine war. I think things are heating up everywhere in the Middle East.
This has gone, the Ukraine war has gone way to the back burner. Not a lot of people are paying attention to what's going on about that, around that situation rather. And it's interesting. We're going to have to take another look at that because there's been so many other events sort of taking the limelight.
And that could also be a bit of a tailwind for the dollar and a headwind for euro. Nothing like having an ocean separate you from a ground war.
By the way, when we're talking about, I just want to somebody in the beginning, because we know Dale is amazing about giving us his thoughts on levels. And Robert had said earlier, great call on euro dollar earlier. For those of you who pay attention from time to time as Dale comes on, he's spot on a lot of the time. And we appreciate him for doing that because a lot of people want to play it safe and not say anything. Somebody asking, do you have any thoughts on Nat Gas? We didn't discuss that. Are you watching that at all?
Yeah, you know, I've gotten tired of watching it, so it's probably bottoming here. I think that Europe got lucky last year with the weather, and I wouldn't count on the weather being cooperative. There is a huge new system in the Pacific, a grand El Nino, which has implications for supply issues in cold winters in Europe, droughts in the Midwest. So, you know, we have some weather patterns that are going to change, and Europe will need lots of natural gas.
We're going to have to get Sean Hackett back on. It's time for a weather update because we do him from time to time to talk about the relationship with commodities. And I think we're due because that's been, you and some others have mentioned that to us recently. We had the bite about gold. I know that when Roger was talking, they were also in the clip we pulled a bit from with Daniel, they were talking about food commodities as well. We still see a lot of high prices in food commodities.
Yeah. And the loved commodity has been sugar. It's had, huge bull run. Maybe look for some out of favor commodities. They've really hit the grains hard going into growing season. And if El Nino plays out, maybe spread yourself out between corn, beans, and wheat and own some grains. You can't eat gold.
No.
Also, there's some stuff happening in the Black Sea again where I don't know how Ukrainian farmers can fight a war and bring in a crop. They seem to be able to do it. It's amazing. But I think there's going to be problems with that breadbasket again next year.
Yeah, I think that's an area we really have to keep an eye on. And as you said, like that affects everyone. So when we're talking about any kind of economic forecast, by the way, I just want to give some comments because as usual, and I've said this week, but the chat's been on fire and you're all so smart. We have the smartest viewers and learning tribe anywhere. TC just mentioning back to our conversation about technology, AI is different largely because the ecosystem is different and parts are way more mature and understood than where things were in .com. Not to say there's not a lot of hype, but it's a different setup. And I think that's what's interesting and also perplexing for people because it's easy to say, oh, it feels like the froth from .com, but we're not talking about super young companies with no track record. We're talking about really established companies that are fueling this run up. And I think that makes it hard to figure out what to do here, Dale.
Yeah. You know, it's not my bailiwick.
Yeah.
I think you could see, you know, people are talking about huge productivity gains and also displacement of millions of workers. So that is a big change.
It is a big change, and it's big mega caps leading it, as opposed to last time around when it was, you know, everyone likes to talk about the .coms that disappeared and we don't remember. And there was a lot of.
So if you can replace people, which at times they're problems anyway, and their performance is up and down. Even the best don't always have great days. With something that is no longer a monthly expense. You can imagine what that's going to do to the bottom line of companies. I just think that we're early in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's probably, it most likely could be, you know, the next mega move in markets. But I think that there's a problem with economies that eventually, if the market does sell off, if I'm right about the October lows giving way and my friend a July crash, even AI will come in. And those will probably be the stocks you want to buy. If there's a washout in the market, buy those.
We have a lot of people who are do pay attention from each appearance that you're on, Dale, and they're giving you a lot of kudos for all of the calls and the commentary you've made from time to time, including some of our very discerning viewers who are
Know it's my birthday.
Tough crowd sometimes, but
you know, it's just a birthday present from
They're being very generous on your birthday. One last question, and this is I just want to make sure we try to get them in. Green Avocado asking, is the yield curve steepening play crowded? What's the downside to playing the yield curve this way? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's crowded. You know, I'm really not curve guy. I'll just go with, I think after we take out the lows in bonds, if there is a TLT makes new lows, that might be the time when there's some kind of capitulation in the bond market and people are talking about, I'll never touch a U.S. Treasury again, that you look at buying some of those.
Amazing. Dale, there's no better way to end the week than with you, and especially leading into this fantastic celebratory birthday weekend for you. And you're gonna go out and have some good food, I understand, right?
Yeah, and you know, I'm 39. I'm gonna maintain Jack Benny's. You probably don't remember Jack Benny, but he stayed 39 forever. Yeah. 39.
I love it. 39 forever. Fantastic. Well, we love nothing more than spending some time with you, Dale. So thank you so much for being on.
Always a great pleasure and honor to talk to
you. I don't have a glass of anything good, but we raise a glass to you. Happy birthday, Dale.
L'chaim to life, man.
All right. That's it. And to all of you, if you are celebrating the bank holiday in the UK or the long holiday here, have a fantastic, glorious weekend. If you're not, have a good weekend anyway, and we'll see you back here Monday. Take care and good luck out there.
What's up, revolutionaries? Thanks for tuning in to the Real Vision Daily Briefing. For more content like this, head over to realvision.com and get unfiltered access to the very best, brightest, and biggest names in finance.